I'd like to call the environment. Oh, okay, so I'll start all over. Today is March 4th, 2026, and I'd like to bring ESAC's Waste Diversion Collection and Education meeting to order. Roll call, Margo Garcia,
Here.
Fred Ariza,
Here.
and Chris Yarder here. See, I don't have a chairperson's report other than Nadia. I don't know. Did you s send a copy of my letter to mayor and council to anyone? Probably just for full ESAC, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I will do that.
Okay. So that got sent out. Brittany, you got that sent out what, Tuesday?
We ha for your letter will be sent out to full ESAC on this Friday's packet, and then your letter will be submitted with everything. We're doing the submittal for mayor and council on, I think, on Friday.
Oh, this coming Friday.
Yes, it's kind of
Yeah.
delayed.
Okay. All right. What date is that? It's a s
We're going to mayor and council
6th.
on the 17th.
17th. Okay. All right. I
Okay.
think that's the date I had.
Chris, do you have a picture or are you hiding today?
Oh, did I shut myself off again?
Yeah,
I'm
there you
here.
are.
Or was I
Cool.
ever on? Okay. All right. So evidently, there won't be a deputy director's report. And we can move on to item four, safety. And is this going to be our guest
Yes.
speaking on this? Okay, Robert.
And I'll let him do an introduction. He's been with the department. But go ahead, Robert.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Robert Urbina. I'm with the Environmental Service Department. Been with the city for 31 years.
Wow.
My little bit of background is I am a superintendent that works with training our new employees when we receive them, and we put them through a training series so that way we can help them develop and become operators. And then I also am responsible for any kind of investigations for any accidents or injuries that we might have within our department to include the landfill. That being said, guess I'm going to share my screen here. Please bear with me because I'm not used to Zoom. Do we see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, going over on our safety program here within the department, the city of Tucson, well, we maintain an employee safety policies across all departments, including our department, which we follow internal safety directives, policies, and administrative directives. Okay. And then they follow in alignment with the standards such as our OSHA compliance. This is something that we would, from our risk management team working with us, handling, regularly reviewed, updated, ensuring compliance with occupational safety requirements that and other regulatory standards. Training and hazard mitigation policies include training hazards, identifications, monitoring, and engineering controls to reduce risk and workers engaged in waste management collections and operational tasks. And then at the city's regional landfill called the Los Reales Sustainability Campus, environmental services, we enforce comprehensive set for safety protocols and ensure protection to our customers, workers, and operations. One thing I want to point out, what we mean by engineering controls, when we try to address a hazardous type situation, One thing would be to have what we call administrative controls, having policies and procedures on how to go about with in a working environment, or if we can engineer something to help avoid that type of hazard. We'll develop something so that way it kind of helps. What do you call it? Control that type of hazard, and then all else fails, and we can't do that, and we still have to work around that type of hazard. This is when we use protective, personal protective equipment, PPE. So our employees and supervisors, we attend a monthly mandatory safety tailgates conducted by risk management, which focuses on OSHA-related type topics monthly. And additionally, employees are required to participate in a monthly task force tailgates. These sessions cover from variety topics of vehicle operations, procedures, vehicle inspections, any kind of reporting of route issues to help reduce any kind of potential hazards that we have in the field on a daily basis. So for the month of January and February, we've had our incidents that were reported. I'm sorry. So in residential, we had 13 incidents. Our brush and bulky, we had one, and nothing to report from commercial landfill or our container maintenance section. Of those incidents, majority of them, over 50%, were striking a fixed object, a wall, a mailbox, parked vehicle, for the month of January. Month of February, we had three residential incidents that were reported, seven in commercial, and three in brush and bulky. In commercial, unfortunately, is the month when we had that unfortunate accident with the fatality of the gentleman downtown in a metal dumpster. So again, overall, for the month of January, February, 40% of the incidents resulted in property damage. And that is my report.
So, are people hitting trees? I mean, are the drivers hitting the trees, or what kind of things are out there waiting to hit the trucks?
Well, it all varies and from each section to another. The majority of our contacts that we make are fixed objects like a mailbox, a wall, a parked car. Those are the most high frequency incidents that we run into. Along with our brush and bulky folks, when they're we have where people will put out all their contents, their bulky piles, but they're not paying attention to what they're placing it on. For example, a water meter, a gas meter, or next to a wall. And when they go and they pick up something, that the load will shift when they're being picked up, and it will actually cause damage. So a lot of times they go in there with their helpers and they try to keep them from hitting anything. But sometimes with just the force of the hydraulics on those skid steers could actually cause damage to property. So those are the main things that we've always are striking is something, that is a fixed object.
Do any of those cause injuries to the drivers?
No, ma'am. None of our,
Okay.
so far, knock on wood, our any kind of incidents of striking a fixed object have resulted in an injury from to our drivers.
Okay.
So are the residential mostly going through the alleys, or do they include like dropping the can on something that damages it?
Depending on the day of the week, in our residential side of the house, we do have, like, for example, our Thursday areas that we pick up, we have a good amount of alleys that they are subject to go into. Our alleys, there's no Like we don't have a lot more accidents in alleys versus the curb
Okay.
collection. It's kind of a combination. It's a balance on both. But in the alleyways, we do go in and then we find ourselves in confined areas because of people placing contents in the alleyways. And then they're doing pretty good at actively going after and reporting vegetation overgrowth. And so they try to get to those as quickly as possible that these are being reported by the drivers. So that way we can, potentially prevent a hazard of, say a tree going through a windshield or anything of that nature. So,
Yeah.
but that's a combination of both, ma'am.
Okay.
Robert, I have a question.
Yeah.
Given that these are just snippets from 2 different months, is this average? Is this the typical kind of incident report you'll see every month, or is this what the way it usually is, or is there other months that are more exceptional where there's more accidents or incidents involved?
It has, we do have months where we might have less numbers. That's something that I can go back on last year's data. But it varies. I was very surprised with the month of January coming out with this number of incidents that we had right out the gate. So it kind of, sometimes we might not have very many, but then, like I said, January was just a one-off, I would imagine. But I would have to go back and from last year's data and get those numbers for you.
Well, I was just kind of curious because this is a snippet of,
Right.
I didn't know what the whole thing looks like. So I'm just kind of curious to see if this is an exceptional period, these last 2 months.
I believe that it is a real exceptional starting out the gate. Last year, looking at the numbers from December, I believe they were a little bit lower. I think it's just we have a good contingent where we hired a lot of new operators, and so we're looking into the dynamics of a lot of this stuff. When we go out with our operators, are they veterans? Are new employees? And what's the cause? So we're looking into other means and try to gather data and try to educate and try to teach our operators, more, so that we can try to bring these frequencies to lower our numbers. One thing I could do in the commercial, I can say that I've for this month, we have locations where there are containers when they're set up for a service. They're placed in locations where they might not have a any kind of like a bollard or anything to keep that container from sliding or moving and making contact with the wall. So, those things come up and we have to, really look at those locations when we have that. Other locations are they're in high traffic area and they're having to back up. And when you're dealing with the public and they're impatient trying to get around, we end up, having an accident, because we're having to back up into traffic because of that container sitting up underneath any kind of overhead obstructions, wires, and things of that nature. So, it's always a constant, being vigilant with our employees, making sure that they're not complacent, making sure that they're out there and paying attention and focus to their surroundings. And that's the best thing that we can do to for them to, try to keep from getting into an accident.
Just one more thing I like to say is a lot of people were upset losing their alley for brush and bulky and everything. And I believe that a while ago we were told that drivers were getting hurt in the alleyways doing the brush and bulky. Was that
Now, some of the brush and bulky and going into some of these alleyways,
Yeah.
we've had last year a couple of injuries from doing alley collections. I can recall one incident where a resident had tired a wire for a tree, and the drivers never saw it and caused a trip hazard, causing an injury. Going into areas where it's unfamiliar, and the terrain. So these folks are going in trying to pull something out, and then they're end up getting injured. So the alleyways with their brush and bulky, it poses a they do have their hazards when they go in there. They have to watch out for.
Okay. Any other questions for Robert?
I'm good.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes,
Yeah.
thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Maybe we'd like to hear per maybe hear from you later on in the year to hear how things have gone.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
You can do
yeah, I'd like to hear
that.
that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay. Oh, let's see. Can I just go back to the chairperson's report real quick? I forgot there was something that I wanted to say, and that is that Trevor sent his review of WDCE meetings, and I don't know, Nadia, did you send our members a copy of that?
Yes, Chris, I did.
Okay, so everybody has that. So if you notice, I believe it was March and then another month that Trevor was absent. I can't remember the second month, but if there's anything you would like to add or you think is too much, or let me know. All right. So I haven't had time to go through it, but I will. Okay, that was it. Let's move on to item five and waste diversion, looking at the MRF report. Christina?
So here's the MRF report for the last 2 months. It looks like in all of the categories, the tonnages went up, but that would be expected because January, right after the holidays, people probably have a lot more cardboard and things. And then the price per ton, other than the OMP, everything went up. So that was good. Now we did just have an audit today, and it looks like the residue will be going up a little bit. So the initial report is telling us 19.8%, which is just 0.5% over what we 0.05% over what we would normally, what we are allowed. We're allowed 19.3. This is 19.8. So it won't be much, but according to Ernesto and Steve, who were there, they said that most of the residue was made up of things like textiles, clothing, stuff like that. So still have more to do on there.
Yeah, I noticed the number two, which is highlighted in yellow about the glass.
Right.
So the cost of transportation of glass has gone up to $40 a ton, which is up substantially from 25 when we first started out, I guess.
Right.
And then adding
And
it to the 150 the 114, it comes up to 155.97, almost $156 a ton. I thought we weren't even supposed to be taking glass in the mixed waste stream. So do we need to start hounding people again about that, or?
We definitely can do that and send out, more reminders because the quality of the glass that we get in the purple bins is so much better. But yeah, they get charged by Sibelco for the transportation. We do not. So yes, it is definitely a better deal for us if people use the purple bins.
Okay. Well, I think we need to start hammering on that because that is a big number, a ton.
Right.
And certainly sort of knocks out an awful lot of the good done by other things, so that the cost was up. Well, it was only 142, 143, not much difference for the invoice, but it would be nice to see that come down.
Of course.
And I'm sure the city would like to see it come down too.
Any other questions about the report? All right. Chris, am I next for the outreach?
Yeah.
So we have a couple things going on right now. We have the zero waste collection event is going to be on March 28th. Same place. And we have received notification from all of the prior vendors that they will be there. Except for WeCare, which was collecting medical equipment. They said they cannot be there this time. But still good suburban miners will take that material, so we should be okay. The other thing that was you were sent was a notification about the truck poster contest. We used to do this every year with the school kids, the fourth through eighth graders. And after, during COVID, we stopped. But we're bringing it back this year. So we expect to have an answer by the end of March so we can schedule the reveal, which we'll invite you all to.
Good. It was always fun, and they did a nice job.
Yeah, they did. And make sure that.
Okay, was that for it for zero waste?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, thank you. So what about that's the contest. The master recyclers you had
Oh yeah,
came
Master
out too.
Recyclers we're signing people up now. I'm not sure how many people we've gotten so far, but that will be the first 4 weeks of April in the evenings. The first 4 Wednesdays.
Okay. Any other questions for Christina?
Oh, how are you advertising that? The master recycling.
So we're advertising it. Well, we sent out a news release. We're doing a lot of social media. TCB is also promoting it through their social media.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's how we get the word out.
I haven't
And
noticed anything in the paper, but that doesn't mean
yeah,
anything.
we currently have 8 participants sign up.
Oh, okay.
Signed up.
And you can take up to 20 or.
Yes.
Is 20 the average,
Last time, I think we had 16.
Yeah.
That's close.
Yeah.
And it's based on our conference room size. Just space available in our conference room.
Yeah.
So you kind of restricted then.
Yes, because we like to have it here at our location just for our staff's convenience. Just if we have to tend to if we're running back and forth from meetings, versus scheduling it off-site at a different location, because we do set up every week, and then we bring materials for the participants, and then we do have snacks, some finger food for the participants, just because it is during dinner hours for the attendees. So just the logistics of doing all that.
Good. That's
That
nice.
makes sense.
Yep.
Good. I know you stay busy. Okay, let's move on to item 7, landfill and compliance. I see Frank has popped up.
Yes. Hi.
Ready to go.
Am I able to share screen, my screen?
Sorry, Frank, let me make you a co-host.
Okay.
There you go.
Right. So just starting off with composting, I wanted to give an update of how we're doing, specifically because this past week we actually ran out of compost. But we have pretty good, or we had a pretty good pile that we needed to screen. So we brought in a screen, and I want to show you a little video so you can get an idea of the operation, the screening operation.
Okay. Oh, cool.
So this is a different screen that we brought in this time just because the previous one wasn't available. And we needed to screen the material as soon as possible so that we can have material to start donating again. You can see the front right here. Oops. So there was a front screen and then there's a back screen. So we get two sizes of material. This time it was a half inch screen, so it gave us a half inch minus compost material. And then the 1 inch minus, which gives us the more coarse composted mulch that we also donate. And I'll show you a couple of pictures of the two piles that we ended up with. This one is our, if you can see it now, so this larger pile, which is roughly around 600 cubic yards, is the finer compost that we donate. We can't donate it yet. We're waiting for the test results, so we should get those within a week. But we sent those out to a lab. You can see it's quite a nice pile.
Yeah. What are the
That
tests for? What are you testing?
we test for primarily a maturity to make sure that the compost is ready, and also for E. coli and Salmonella to make sure that we can actually donate it and not be sending out contaminants. But where did my screen go? I'm going to stop sharing this one and give you the other picture. this smaller pile that you see in the front. And you can see the tail end of the bigger one that I just showed you. And then this one here is the coarse, the more coarse mulch that we also donate. And this little pile in the back are the overs, which is basically what we're not donating any of this. And sometimes we're exploring if we're going to mix it in our composting so that it can go to further composting. We might just use it on our slopes for runoff, storm runoff control.
What's it made of? What's in it?
This one would be anything that would be greater than 1 inch. So it's just basically at this point, it's larger twigs, larger material that didn't compost to below to less than 1 inch. And sometimes we'll find some rocks, we'll find some other contaminants, but not in any extreme amounts. That's why you can see that most of our compost is fairly clean. And even compared to other operations that we've seen up in the Phoenix area and other locations, where they do tend to have a lot of micro contamination, microplastics or other smaller items, which is a big reason why we constantly preach on contamination, and compost cats helps us also with our food waste contamination, keeping all of that down. This pile, the pile that I showed you right now, which is the more coarse mulch, that's 400 cubic yards. So in total, we screened about 1,000 cubic yards this time around. And so also, let me share this next picture quickly. And it's just, you can see the big piles that we composted. This is still windrows that are composting. And so we'll have a little bit of time to go. But within a month and a half, a couple months, we're going to have another batch of material that we need to screen. And so every time that we bring a screen, we have to rent it currently because we don't own our own. And this time around, we paid around $10,000 for the rental for 1 week.
A week.
A week.
Whoa.
How much does the machine cost?
So these machines cost anywhere between $400,000 and $600,000. And then there's a lot of maintenance involved with them. And so we're also evaluating if it's going to be cost effective for us to buy our home or just continue to rent these long term, because we only bring it in once a quarter, roughly, or maybe three times a year, not quite once a quarter yet.
Yeah, 30,000 for something that's 600,000. It sounds like renting continues to be a better deal. Yeah. Where do they come from?
Well, this is a local
A local guy? Huh.
RDO. We rented this one for RDO. But they still had to bring it in. So we had to pay transportation costs.
Oh, okay.
Most of these might come out of Colorado or somewhere in Texas.
And what's it used for when it's not doing compost? Sands and gravels, or?
Primarily, we've also used some in the past, the screen that we bring in when we screen the compost, we also screen material for soil, basically, so that we can use that material to cover our in the cells.
Okay.
The liner, it's basically, we call it liner sand. But it can screen anything, and they can put any kind of different sizes of screens. We actually prefer the 3/8 inch, but we weren't able to get that screen, so we decided to go with a half inch for the finer compost. So this time around, it's going to be a little bit coarser. which is okay because that would be perfect for the community gardens where we donate a lot of it.
Okay.
Once we start getting into the fall where the golf courses or the U of A want to use the compost, so the next batch, we're going to bring in a 3/8 inch screen because they prefer the finer compost material for the fields and for the golf courses.
Well, my youngest son was a good boy this weekend and brought me two small trash cans full of mulch. And I just about got all my plants and pots mulched.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's good
Was it
stuff.
from our material?
Mabel, it was
Okay.
dropped off at Mabel. Is that a garden over there?
More than likely, it's probably
Yeah.
at community gardens. If it's not a community garden, we've also been donating to TUSD, some of the TUSD schools.
Oh, good.
He said it was going fast.
Sure.
So,
Okay.
and then I got, then he got me some wood chips. So,
Nice.
yeah. Good
Okay.
boy.
All
Thanks.
right.
Not every mother would be so happy.
I know. I'm so easy to please, really. Just bring
I'll
me
move
more.
to the second topic. That's okay, so I also wanted to talk to you about air compliance.
Air compliance.
I've got two items. First of all, we're in the public notice period right now for 45 days for our Title V air quality permit renewal. So within less than 45 days, I'd say within 40 days, we should complete that public notice if there are any comments or anything that comes in from the public. And this is with Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. They will know that, and they'll probably respond to any of those. And at that point, we get issued our renewal permit.
Who might comment on it? Who comments in the past?
It can be, I can't recall where anyone has commented, but it
What I
can
would
be
guess.
any public member, anyone that might have a concern because of air
Yeah.
quality permit or our operation. We do have to put a sign up front at
Okay.
the entrance. And so anyone that comes in, any of our customers can see that we're under public notice, under the public notice period. So yeah, there's information on the sign and the results where anyone can go on there and submit the comments.
Okay.
Then the second item is a little more serious. We just received on February 19th a notice, what's called a findings of violation from the EPA. And this stems back to the April 10th, 2024 inspection that EPA did along with Pima DEQ. If you recall that we're under a consent order with Pima DEQ to improve our gas collection system. And we weren't expecting that EPA, we thought that we were basically working with Pima DEQ on these, on the violations, but EPA went ahead and issued their own notice of violation, which they call it, of course, a findings of violation FOV. So there are three main citations that they are looking at, and one is failure to implement cover repairs as necessary. And these are primarily the same violations that we're working with Pima DEQ on. There were about 34 areas that they monitored and they got readings on during that inspection. We've basically repaired everything within 2 weeks of when those violations had been noted. And so now we're working with PDEQ on assessing our system, our entire gas collection system. And then they're also going to prepare, and that's been completed. We just haven't received the final report. We also installed four wells, four new wells and five replacement wells. So all of that is part of that order, a consent order that we're under. Then the second violation that EPA is citing is failure to operate in a manner consistent with safety and good air pollution control practices. Again, it's all related to the same issues where they found there were some repairs needed on some of the wellheads within our landfill collection system. But primarily it was because there were a few areas, 34 locations were that needed some repairs because we were emitting fugitive landfill gas. The final citation is failure to operate an active collection system with negative pressure and minimize downtime. And all of this relates to our gas collection wells and how we've been operating, where if a collection well isn't producing enough gas, or if it's high in oxygen. And some of this they're citing all the way back to 2009.
Okay.
And so that's a little more concerning to us. Well, not concerning, but it just doesn't make sense to us. And that's why we're going to have to do a little more research as to an inquiry to EPA on that particular citation. Because they're looking at some of the wells that were in operation that was way back in 2009. And of course, they're also looking at some of the current ones. But it all
And those
stems.
were going to TEP, right? Still, they were getting the gas.
Yes. So
Yeah.
yes, all of that gas was
Yeah.
being shipped over to TEP. And at that point, even biogas was operating the system. We weren't maintaining that. So. And it all stems to when they shut down a well because it's not producing well, and then they let it sit for a little while, and then they bring it back online. But there is a stipulation that EPA is citing that if a well isn't brought back online within 120 days, it should have been replaced. So that's kind of where we're looking at those issues there. So what's going to happen next is, from the 19th, when we received that findings of violation, Carlos already reached out to EPA to request a conference with EPA, and that one is going to be scheduled within the next 30 days. We haven't heard back from EPA. At this conference, of course, we're going to discuss the violations. The city attorney is going to be involved, Chris Avery. I'm not sure, maybe someone else within the city attorney's office. But there's more. There's going to be a process that we're going to go through and see what EPA would require us to do. But there's also, of course, there's that potential of EPA issuing fines if they decide to do that. We have been doing a lot of improvements to our system, and we're still planning to do more as part of the OAC consent order with Pima County. Is that we are working with SES engineers to develop an improvement plan for our well system, which may include adding more wells, doing repairs, maybe even at the flare station. So we're already on that track. And so hopefully, my opinion, and that EPA will take that into consideration and hopefully allow us to make improvements to our system, whatever improvements we need to make.
So the conference is with the people at the regional level. So it's
Region nine?
Region 9
Yes.
EPA.
Correct.
So have they been here since they were here, what was it, 2 years ago or something?
No, they have not been back.
Okay. Or you haven't sent them reports on what you're doing with the Pima County people?
So we have not been sending them any updates on that. We've been working directly with Pima DEQ. We did provide initially the EPA with all the documentation that they requested. And that was done fairly at the beginning after the April 2024 inspection. But there was no communication from the EPA to the city of Tucson until basically we received this notice.
Oh, well, it's hard to know what they want, whether they want more contact or not want more contact, you know. But does Pima County talk to them regularly? I mean, communicate with them, not necessarily talk, but communicate with them regularly?
I'm sure they do, and we receive some feedback from Pima DEQ, not necessarily that we were going to receive this. They're just saying basically the only feedback is that they've been in communication with the EPA on what we've been working with them on. So there's communications within those two agencies and not information that they've shared with us.
What, how high are the fines?
So they can get fairly serious. I believe that the maximum daily amount can be like $59,000. Wait, the $59,000 a day?
59,000 a day. Wow.
Back to 2009. Would they
Well,
like to buy the landfill?
yeah. Boy, that's crazy. Well, good luck.
Yes, the
We'll be
59,000,
rooting for you. Yeah.
59,114 per day, to be specific, is the potential if they decide to.
Be mean.
Okay.
Oh, after all, we are a, whatever it is, a sanctuary city, so suck it to us.
Okay.
Under a different administration right now.
Yeah. So, when did you get this engineering group to start working on a plan for the wells?
So they've been working on the assessment from the beginning. That
Okay.
our report is due to Pima DEQ on the 13th.
For
And
this month?
yes. And so we've been working with them on the draft. We should be getting a clean report soon, and of course we'll share that. As soon as this project is over, the assessment, then we enter phase two, which is development of the implementation plan. Improvement, implementation plan, or improvement plan.
Wow.
And we have that one is we have 180 days.
Okay.
And
So
this, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, how much is that going to cost, the implementation? I mean, you've talked about
A
wells,
plan.
changing wells, and so forth.
Right.
Oh.
So this is just the plan.
Okay.
Once the plan is going to give us the specifics of how many wells we should replace, if we need to add additional at the flare station, perhaps we might be able to need to add additional blowers so that we can increase our vacuum in our system. They may recommend increasing or replacing our flare or adding a second flare. It's all going to depend on what we need here at the system. So just keep in mind that our system is over 20 years old, our gas collection system. Our well infrastructure and our blower and flare system. So There hasn't been any major investments into the system throughout the years. We basically have been going, forward with maintaining compliance. You're mute.
Things do wear out, I said. So, All right. Well, I must have been kind of a shock to get the violation notice.
It was.
Yeah, I thought we were in the clear for a while.
We have some legwork to do. We're going to be a lot of work to do, I'm sure.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You.
Thanks, Frank. Of course.
We'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so there you are. Jose is ready to do item eight, collections.
Very good
And
afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing?
real
great,
well.
beautiful
Well,
day.
hopefully it's not as sad as Frank's, but we all work on the same
I
department, so at least I'll give you a little bit of good news. So yeah, so
Okay, good.
just a quick update on the collection vehicles. I think we spoke about it on our last meeting, but just so you all know, if you missed it, but commercial front loads, we received all vehicles that were placed in last year's order. So we're up to where we need to be at. We received those vehicles and we're surplusing the older vehicles. So when it comes to the commercial front loads, we're good to go. Brush and bulky with the rear loaders, same thing. We're getting rid of the older ones, and right now we received all our vehicles that we needed to receive. When it comes down to the residential side loaders, we're still waiting on 3 units, but it's coming near the end, waiting. But start all over again. Where this year we're already planning for the upcoming fiscal year, and requested formal quotes for 10 side loaders, 2 front loaders, and 3 rear loaders. So we'll be sending that out. Once we get the quotes, we'll review them and then decide which type of trucks. One of the things that we're doing this year, we received a battle truck compared to a Peterbilt. A lot of the drivers, they prefer the Peterbilt, better turning radius. Yeah, the battles, has more room inside, but it's just, when we're using these trucks in the alleyway, the Peterbilt is no less of a, how can I say it? It has a better turning radius, and then the nose doesn't stick out that much whenever we're turning on these tight turns in some of these alleyways. We do have a forestry truck on the side, besides the collection units that we're using. We do use a forestry truck that we ordered, so that should be arriving here pretty soon. And that forestry truck, we have one already, and they're basically what they do is we have arborists that work in alleyways. So, they're the ones that are cutting down the trees, trimming the vegetation. So we're waiting on that second truck so we can have 2 crews out there.
Do they have cherry pickers on them? Is that the forestry truck?
Actually, the forestry truck looks like I should have put a picture up, but what it is, it's a box truck. I don't know if you've probably seen them down the road. It's a box truck, and then they have a shredder,
Oh.
where they'll throw the wood, inside that shredder, and then it's falling inside the truck. They're loading
Okay,
it up that
okay.
way. Yeah.
Those are the ones that come by for brush and bulky.
Yeah, those are the rear loaders. Yeah, the rear
Those are
loader.
the okay, all
Yeah,
right.
those are the rear loaders for the brush and bulky. Yeah.
Okay.
And the forestry truck is just a box truck. And then like I said, basically, they're shredding all the wood and then, throwing it inside the truck.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're waiting on those. Like I said, get ready to do it again and start all over, ordering some of these side loaders, the front loaders, and the rear loaders for next year's fiscal year.
How are the prices? Have prices gone up?
Well, we usually we're pretty prepared for it. So what we do every year, we have a spreadsheet that we're following. So what we do, we'll add 3% every year so we can be in the ball range, of what they might cost, and we've been doing that for years. So, once that fiscal year comes along, more or less we know what it's going to be costing. But until we get those quotes, we'll find out, exactly what that cost is going to be. One of the things that we're going to be doing this year, and I don't think we've ever done it in the past, we get these vehicles and we go over it with the operators. What are some of the things that you're seeing that you need? It can be a step, it can be another mirror, it can be another camera, it could be since we're using Samsara, what type of devices can hook up to Samsara, so we've never done that in the past. So this year we're looking more into depth. So that way when we receive them, they're ready to go. They're ready to go, they're ready to be used. We can just hook up to the Samsara or Routeware software, and those are the things that we're looking at right now. So there's quite a bit of a list that we have to go through, but we have to work with the whoever is going to win the when we place the bid for the trucks.
Okay.
On recruitments, as of yesterday, we do have 8 vacancies for operators.
So you're down to 8.
Yeah, we're down
Okay.
to 8, but
Uh-oh.
the good thing is that right now we have 3 ESWs, which are workers. So those workers, basically, they're going to get promoted. When they first came in, they didn't have a license. So we have 3 workers that work with the brush and bulky or the homeless encampment cleanups. Basically, when they first came in, they were just workers, they were laborers. So now, they have their license. So we're going to be promoting 3 of our workers be going into the as an operator now. So, we're trying to get those guys, hey, get your license, get your license. This is good for you. Let's move up. Trying to make those guys, move up, here in the department. But we do have, like I was saying, the 3 pending direct promos, which is those ESWs. And then when we have 1 pending retirement, so
Okay.
it kind of
Okay.
ups and down, up and down. So yeah, we have one guy that's going to be retiring tomorrow. One of our employees, he'll be retiring tomorrow after, what is it, 26 years of service. So he'll be retiring tomorrow. We do have 3 ESWs, which is the workers. Right now, then this is just the count, 3 vacancies. But if those 3, promote, once they pass the backgrounds and all that good stuff, now we'll have 6 vacancies opened up. So we are here in the next couple of weeks. We sat down with HR yesterday, kind of went over the recruitment. So here in within the coming weeks, we're going to be reopening it again, so that way, we can get that list going again. So it should be coming up here pretty soon. The brush and bulky and the on-demand, just kind of want to give you guys feedback of what we're hearing out there, with the public, from going from alley to curb. The primary complaint is that residents do not have sufficient space to place their piles in front of their homes, particularly on cul-de-sacs or areas with limited frontage. So we are receiving a lot of complaints. A work order is created for the supervisor, which is Steve Herran. He's a supervisor for brush and bulky. So he'll get that work order. He'll go out there, make contact with the resident, and basically let them know, look, if it's a cul-de-sac, if they don't have enough space, because we've been doing this for a very long time. This is something new for the public. So, we're telling them, you know what, just go ahead and place it in the middle of that cul-de-sac. If you place it, as long as you place it in the middle of the cul-de-sac, and then everybody's aware that's around, they can place it in the middle of the cul-de-sac, as long as we have access, or if police or emergency vehicles have to go around that cul-de-sac, or people just to get into their property. So we are going out there, making contact, and educating them and letting them know about what's going on or how we can help them. One of the other things that we're also hearing, what is it? We're addressing and resolving these complaints. We talked about the cul-de-sacs, the flow. Sorry about that. Many re residents have expressed dissatisfaction with the change, stating that they are concerned the streets will look cluttered or unattractive while piles placed on curbside. I mean, there's other areas that have been doing it for years, that have had the brush and bulking. One of the things that, we like hearing from the public is, yeah, it looks like a disaster out there. It looks like a typhoon just went through that neighborhood. But once it's completed and cleaned up, we always, hey, thank you for cleaning it up. It looks so much better. So, yeah, but we, like I said, we are educating, the public, letting them know, where to place, and we're on top of it. We get a work order, we're on top of it. We'll go out there and talk to the resident on one-on-one. So, and then,
I follow the Sam Hughes listserv.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What was on there?
Oh, they were not happy with having to give up their B&B in the alley. So, there was a lot of grouchy people, but
Yeah, and there's like I said, we go out there, we get a lot of complaints also. Christina can, talk about this too, is online, we do get a lot of complaints, they'll respond back. But if it's something that we have to go out there and make contact, we're out there, and just educating the public. Yeah, so wanna just to give you a quick update also with the schedule for the on-demand. As of at the beginning of this year, Area 19 has had 286 appointments as of March 2nd. Area 25, which is over here on the south side, it's 134 appointments as of February 23rd. So it looks like talking to the supervisor and the appointments that are being done, we're getting more, people are starting to get the hang of it. They're starting to get the hang of it. We still got our complaints, but people are starting to get a hang of it. They're still doing the monkey see, monkey do, but like I said, we're out there, we're educating and letting them know how the program works.
So, is it more efficient for the drivers? I mean, are you finding that efficiency, which is what you were hoping for?
For the drivers, when it comes down to the drivers right now, because we're not fully staffed, when
Okay.
it comes down to the on-demand. So basically what's happened, I have to take a crew or two, depending, how many appointments we have. I have to take a crew from the regular brush and bulky that's, working on other areas, that are scheduled. So what we try to do is Monday morning, if we send out one crew, we already gauged it. We can take care of anywhere from 40 to 50 work orders in one day with one crew. If those numbers get a little bit higher, and then what we're doing is, okay, let's send two crews, knock it out. Okay, let's go back to the area.
Okay.
So yeah, that's how it's working. The bad thing is that it's spread out. Once we get people to actually make more appointments or they're out there, we can grab a certain area, and we have 50 at this location, then another 40 over here, so these guys can move around. But so far it's working good. We've seen a big decrease, especially on Area 25. You guys have seen the pictures of
Yeah.
of the
Dumping.
illegal dumping and all that. So
Right.
it's, I mean, are we still getting it? Yes. I am not gonna, we are getting it, but not as much. We're not, we're there every 2 weeks. We're cleaning up those illegal dumps, but it's not as bad as it used to be. We're, the good thing is that we're staying away from TV, the news. So, that's a plus for us. And it's been working fine, since we started this. We hopefully, I know Area 19 is very vocal, so we'll see, what's gonna happen for the next coming years, if we're gonna stick to it or not. So those are the conversations that we're having.
What will you do with like apartment buildings and duplexes that get B&B? Is
No,
it
they,
kind
you
of
know,
all or nothing?
no, actually, when it comes to duplexes or mobile home parks, they're not paying for the brush and bulky, so they don't receive that. Yeah, they don't receive the brush and bulky. They're not allowed to set anything out.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah, and we have those on our maps. We do have those on our maps where it identifies that they're not qualified for the brush and bulky.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the way they're billing them. So that's how we know that, they're not allowed to, set anything out. If they do, we do pick it up, but we send them reminders. Hey, you guys, aren't allowed to put anything out. So,
Okay.
Christina.
I just wanted to say that regardless of what happens with the by appointment, if we were to stick to this the set schedule that we have done in the for so many years, there would have to be some changes. There's, regardless, because we do not have enough staffing to keep up with it the way it is right now.
Okay.
So, there's, if we were to not move ahead on the by appointment, we would have to realign all the routes and all the areas, and it may not, I mean, we've been talking internally about maybe it's not going to be every 6 months if we have to add areas to
Okay.
keep them leveled. Maybe it's going to be every 7 months or something, because we have two huge areas, and they really need to be rebalanced because they've got probably double the number of households that all the other areas have.
I'm sorry, I got thrown off. Somebody kicked me out.
I just don't want you. No, I was just telling them that if we don't move forward with the by appointment for everybody, that we're still going to have to make some kind of change because staffing-wise, we cannot keep up what we've been doing
Yeah,
over
and
the
then
by appointment.
what just to add on to Christina was saying, we have the east side that is still growing. If we have 10,000 customers over on the east side, a certain area compared to 4,000 that's, here within the city that they can't grow anymore. So, we have to do something has to give. If it means, one of the things that I've thrown out in the past is like, okay, instead of getting it every 6 months, which that's happening now, can we add a month? If we add a month, now you're getting it every 7 months. You're getting it a month later. But that gives me the opportunity to add at least four more areas or two more areas, so we can distribute it evenly all the way across the whole city. So that's something that we talked about, and yeah, it's yeah, because we'll probably end up if this doesn't work, it's like I said, we have two areas that are just growing, and yeah, we can't keep up with it. That's when we start falling behind.
How do you do with people calling in for pickups? Because I mean, that's still a real good deal. What is it, $56?
Yeah, it's $55. So,
$55.
we still, yeah, we have $55. So and that's going to be for the first 10 yards. Now, if they have 20 yards, we'll charge them $5 per yard additional.
Okay.
So, but we'll go out there, we'll take care of them. We do see quite a bit of that. So, but we are going out there and taking care of those.
Okay.
It's $50 for what?
$55 for the brush and bulky special.
And how big is the container?
No, actually, if it's a brush and bulky special, so let's say you offer it, you call us and like, hey, I got a brush and bulky. Okay, just set it out as a brush and bulky pile. And
Okay.
if you keep it under the 10 yards, we're only charging you for 55. Now, if you have a
Right.
big, enormous pile, it fits 20 yards, $55. Plus the time that we're there, and then $5 additional for each yard that you have out there.
Yeah. It's cheaper than having to rent a vehicle to take to the landfill, so, and easier pickup. Yeah.
Convenience. I tell my wife convenience. I don't care if it costs $3 more, but it's convenience.
It is.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
is very convenient.
Well, sounds good, except for needing more staff, so and equipment.
Yeah,
So
we're getting there. Like I
you're
said,
getting
when it
there.
comes to equipment, it's just a staff, and how are we going to use this staff? It's because we're prepared for it. It's just getting the staff and dedicating it to the on-demand. If we're going to continue with the on-demand, that way it's not interfering with our brush and bulkies that are working in another area. So we're prepared. It's just getting that, onboarding the new staff.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks,
Okay,
Jose. Thank you.
so we're at item 9, future agenda items.
Guess we need to continue finding out about the EPA violation notice.
Yeah.
Yep.
That.
Keep getting updated.
Yeah, and I don't know if we need a. I don't know if you want to go into the weeds of seeing those engineering reports, but somehow, I guess I'm not entirely clear about the plan and then the implementation. And then I guess it's an implementation plan and then it's implementation after that. How all that works, I don't
It's
know.
all set by the EPA.
Well, yeah, where does the EPA
Yeah,
in that? I
what are
mean,
the
and do they, I think they review each one of those plans, as I remember working this in the past. We don't have Doug here to tell us.
Okay.
And I guess just the standard.
Keep up with all that stuff. So,
Compost, the MRF, the zero collections will have happened, so we'll how much people did, how many they got, and how many
yeah.
report back on the poster contest.
Yeah, and if you can get back to me, before
Yeah.
fully SAC on the waste aversions collections and education portion. That Trevor put together, go through it and read it. And I think he was in a hurry. I guess he's got a lot on his plate. So
So
since
what, when was that mailed out?
I
Do you
thought
know?
Nadia said she sent Trevor's out to everybody.
Yes. Let me
What
see.
date was it? Do you know?
I'm checking right now.
Was it a week ago or?
I just suggest something, and I know when Robert was talking, and I know you guys had a couple of questions when it came down to the safety. Are you guys okay if we add him every quarter, maybe in June, add him again so that way he can have more numbers for you guys, so you guys can take a look at that.
Oh,
Maybe if we do it every
definitely.
quarter, if that would work for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's a good
Sure.
idea. Yeah. Not
Okay.
just when we've had a fatality.
Yeah.
Maybe we're getting a better idea of what an incident is. I'm still a little vague, so maybe a few pictures here and there,
Okay.
which I
Or
suspect you have to take for the people, the city risk, right? The city risk people handle the whatever the expenses to the land, to
Yes.
whatever they hit, they have to take care
Yeah.
of.
Okay. Yeah. No, I could definitely have that. We do get reports from risk management. What the cost is, what it's
Yeah.
costed us in the past. So we have that all that information.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys want to see it sooner or we can wait till June. He can have all that
June's fine.
information
Yeah.
for you. Okay.
That's fine.
I mean, do you have to worry about lawsuits? I mean,
Oh, I guess.
yeah,
Well,
or
what we
just
had one just to kind of throw it out there, and I'm not sure it still hasn't ended, that we struck an e-bike user.
okay.
He was going down Speedway, the operator, he made a right-hand turn, and e-bike user came out of nowhere just
Yeah,
hauling butt on that
right.
bike. And so it's still up in the air, what's what the cost is going to be
Okay.
for that. Yes, but
Yeah.
we do have, I mean, we have lots of pictures, so you guys won't get
Yeah, I
bored.
mean, we
Oh,
don't
that's
need
right.
lots, but the point is to, I mean, if a funny one happened, the sun van came and we had a little the wall, just a funny little piece of wall that was by our entry, and they hit it, and we thought, well, we really don't need that anymore, so we continued to knock it down and took it away. And they came back and said, how come you've never filed a report? And then he's looking around and saying, well, the picture says there's supposed to be something here and there's nothing here. So
Yeah.
yeah, well, we took the rest of it away. You don't need to do anything. But he looked so perplexed when he was sitting there with his phone. Wait a minute, there's supposed to be a wall here and there's nothing there.
And I get those, and even, we had another incident, just throwing it out there real quick. We had another incident that happened a couple of weeks ago. Brush and Bulky was out there, and they were working on a street, and it's still dark in the morning.
Sure. Yeah.
When you see, when you see the video, they service on one side of the road, and then you have the skids here move over to the other side, which, seemed like a normal pile. You look at it, it's still dark. I'm like, man, you see a carpet up in the front. And then so he goes in there and he grabs it. He grabs the pile, which we thought it was a pile. The operator thought it was a pile, but it was actually a homeless. He was sleeping behind that little rolled
Oh,
up carpet.
jeez.
And he was just bunched up. So he picked them up. He got them. He grabbed them. He picked them up. And then all you see, you just see, the worker, hey, stop, stop. And you can see the guy's just, flapping his feet. The good thing is that, with those grapplers, he didn't catch them where, might
It
cause
dirt.
death or
Yeah.
injuries or anything like that. Yeah. So he survived. We called TPD, went out there. They called TPD. They called the fire department. First thing, fire department is, oh man, we deal with this guy all the time. The guy got up and he left. He even asked for his carpet. Can I take my carpet with me? So those are the
Oh,
type of things that we're
jeez.
seeing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Jose.
Poor driver.
Yeah, Jose, maybe you could show us some pictures of some of those cul-de-sacs too.
Okay.
Because, or even regular, because right now it's kind of hard to picture what it's going to look like.
Okay.
We can maybe get an idea of what you guys are seeing already.
Yeah.
And that way, if we might give us a better idea as to what to expect.
Will the
Okay, that'd be great.
No problem.
Okay.
Chris.
Yes.
So I check and I send the draft on Monday at
Okay.
3 p.m.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I can search for it now.
Okay. Good. So would it be easier just for you guys to email me, or if you want to see changes?
Okay.
Okay. Then Nadia won't get all the all the little extra emails that you probably don't need. So,
Okay.
okay. All right. So let's no call to audience and item 11. Let's move to adjournment
All
at
right.
4:21
Sounds
p.m.
good. Thanks,
So,
everyone.
yeah, we'll see you
Thank
next
you.
week.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Have a good rest of the month. Or
Yes,
see you next
thank
week,
you.
actually.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Bye.
Where am I? Okay.